if you take the steps in the right order, what you get on the other side is smart, strategic, sustainable prices that cover your immediate needs. And anytime you sell a project at that price, you know, like you are absolutely certain that you're also making definitive progress toward your long-term goals.
Welcome to Elevate and Expand, a podcast where entrepreneurs just like you can find the community, guidance, and accountability needed to grow your business without working around the clock. As an entrepreneur, you're responsible for pretty much everything. But that does not mean you have to figure out everything on your own. In each episode, you'll discover practical frameworks and shortcuts that will eliminate confusion and boost your revenue. You'll also be motivated and inspired by hearing stories from other entrepreneurs who are on the same journey as you. I'm your host, Terry Rice, biz dev consultant and staff writer at Entrepreneur Magazine. Let's jump into today's episode. Austin L. Church is a writer, brand consultant, and freelance coach. He started freelancing in 2009 after finishing his master's in literature and getting laid off from a marketing agency. Freelancing led to mobile apps, a tech startup, a children's book, and a branding studio. Austin loves teaching freelancers and consultants how to stack up specific advantages for more income, free time, and fun. And here are the top takeaways from today's episode. You will learn from the pricing mistake that Austin and I both made early in our careers, how to build your prices around your personal goals, and why your prices should be strangely specific. Austin, how's it going today?
I'm doing great. No complaints, Terry. I'm just thrilled to be having this conversation with you.
Yeah, and before we got started officially, we were kind of riffing about how it's a great time to be alive as an entrepreneur in general, because you and I are both paid content creators. We write, mm-hmm. we talk, we make videos, and then we get paid. Whereas years ago, that wasn't an option, right? So when I went to college way back in the 90s, that was not what you aspired to do. I thought I would just get a regular 9-to-5 job, try to climb the corporate ladder, and there you go. But there's just so many more opportunities now for entrepreneurs or creators that we can take advantage of. So yeah, I'm just glad to be on this journey with you.
Likewise, it's strange to think that even like 50 years ago, you know, same skill set, same strengths, same passions, same desire to like have more control over the calendar, more flexibility, more autonomy. The business models weren't there. The opportunities weren't there. And so I feel very grateful to live in an era when someone like me has options. Does that make sense?
It does, but does it make sense to your friends? I'm wondering, like, the friends you had from like high school and college, and they were like, what do you actually do? Like, how do you support yourself? Like, what's that like having those conversations with them?
I think we all learn to translate quickly so that we don't see that sort of glassy stare on people's faces. You know, if they don't know what a freelancer or consultant is, I can quickly say, oh, I'm a fractional CMO. So I'll say, oh, I'm a part-time marketing leader. Or I'll say, oh, I'm a business coach. I help people grow their businesses, and sometimes can't get into the nuances because I have friends who are teachers and friends who are in corporate, friends who, you know, have a true profession. So they're accountants or they're attorneys or they're doctors. And I think it still short circuits their brains when I tell them what my schedule looks like and what my work looks like, and that chatting with Terry Rice and just having a rich conversation is technically part of my work today. Like that doesn't compute.
Yeah. Yeah. I have the same issue, and we're going to get into the meat of the podcast in a moment. I know we just kind of jumped into it, and I'll have you introduce yourself, but actually, this is actually central to the conversation. When I talk about my pricing, that's when they get thrown off as well, because I'll say I charge X $100 per hour, and their minds are blown. They're like, how can you possibly do that? Like, that does not compute, so on and so forth. And clearly, they don't understand I'm not working 40 hours a week at that rate. But even coming up with the pricing initially when I became an entrepreneur was challenging for me, because like at my last company, I made a decent amount of money. But if I looked at the hourly rate, it was far lower than I charge right now.
And I think a lot of like emerging entrepreneurs have that same challenge with their pricing, which is why I'm glad you're here today, where they think, well, how do I deserve this? You know, why should I be able to charge this much? I don't even have any credentials or whatever, so on and so forth. So let's officially get started here. I'm going to have you please introduce yourself. And I have a bunch of questions about money that I know our listeners want to hear the answers to. But yeah, do you mind just go ahead and introducing yourself?
Sure. My name is Austin Church. I include the L online so that people won't confuse all of my stuff with all of the churches in Austin, Texas. So Austin L Church, and I am a fractional CMO, so part-time marketing leader. I am a business coach specifically for six-figure freelancers and consultants who maybe accidentally became workaholics and now need to start optimizing for lifestyle again. And I'm an author, so I love to write, published a book, freelance money mindset and pricing guide, and love my work. Get to talk with passionate people all day, and it's been a circuitous path, winding path to get here, but that's the current version, right? It could change tomorrow, Terry.
Yeah. I think that's one of the benefits of being an entrepreneur is you can pivot however you see fit. But I'm going to tell an embarrassing story in regards to pricing. And then let's just pick it apart in regards to what I was doing wrong and what our audience can do right. So on my end, the way that I initially got clients for my company is I would teach workshops here in the New York City area, sometimes getting paid, sometimes not getting paid, but it was a great way to do lead gen. And I remember one time this person came up to me afterwards saying, hey, we'd love to partner with you to consult our company on digital marketing. How much do you charge? And I said, I charge $40 an hour. Mm-hmm. And they just looked disappointed. They said, wow, you're cheap. Just kind of like moonwalked out of the room. And I was just like, geez, you know, like I had all this credibility established because I just led this amazing workshop. They came to me wanting to work with me. And when my rate was too low, that's what turned them off. Mm-hmm. And another time, I'll share one more embarrassing story. Someone reached out to me in regards to a speaking engagement. They wanted to pay me to lead a keynote down in not Austin, Texas, but San Antonio. Mm. And when I gave them my rate, they wanted to work with me, but the woman who was organizing it said, look, we love you. We think you're great. But when we saw your rate, it scared the other stakeholders because everyone else charged so much. That's why we can't partner with you. And I was like, you could have said no. You didn't have to say that. You gotta let that part out. But just diagnosing me, what do you think was up with my money mindset that I was charging so little for my work, even though I had all these credentials established previously?
So, you know, we have to be kind to old Terry, and old Terry is very similar to old Austin too, because we come out of a paradigm, right, where we trade time for money and we think, okay, well, generally if my time was worth X number of dollars per hour in my old position, then, you know, I need to be a little bit more aggressive. And so, you know, if I'm independent, then the math's going to look this way. And so we don't realize that we have to shed that paradigm until we have one of those experiences like you mentioned, where mine was very similar, although it was one-on-one, so I didn't feel quite as exposed, but a mentor who I didn't even know was a mentor yet looked at my portfolio, asked me what my rate was. Believe it or not, I told him $40 an hour. So Terry, we started at the, you know, bottom. Now we're here, Terry. Yeah. But
there we go. I dig it.
But anyway, he like nodded and he said, do you mind if I give you some advice? And you always know a good mentor if they ask if they can give you advice rather than just launching into it. But he said, you should raise your rates effective immediately because you will not be taken seriously in larger markets. Mm-hmm. And so you and I both experienced that very early on, that if you charge too little, then you weaken your positioning. And that's not a lesson that we just get when we're working our early jobs and high school and college, and, you know, we're just trying to make ends meet and we're delighted when we can just pay our bills on time. And so the idea that undercharging reflects poorly on your perceived expertise, experience, value, confidence. I mean, where are we going to get that lesson until we learn it the hard way? So that's the first thing I would say is, you know, old Terry, old Austin, you know, we learn what we learn about pricing in the school of bruises where you're like, oh, I missed. Like that was the opportunity was right there, right? But what's true when we get out and we start consulting or freelancing or independent is we have to find a different like model for calculating prices, because just doing like a multiple of the old hourly when you were on salary, that just doesn't work. Even if you can get yeses, you may actually get a no when it really counted. To your point, hey, you weren't expensive enough for us to take you seriously. I'm like, talk about mind blown, right? Mm-hmm. How did you respond? What did you do afterwards?
I was embarrassed. I was. And what I did is I started doing research on other experts in my field to see how much they charged. And there was someone else who was offering a similar service that charged $300 an hour. So that's when I raised my rates. And it felt uncomfortable at first, like saying, hey, here's how much I charge. But I got less yeses, but they were more impactful. And I was able to raise my standards back up to where they should have been, because when you get that yes for $40 an hour, you know you're not charging enough, right? You're working around the clock to make things work. And I finally did the math. I'm like, look, I'd have to work like a bajillion hours a day to achieve the goals I have for myself and my family. So that's why I'm excited for you to walk through a process for us to come up with our rates, because most people think, hey, you know, like I'm just going to your point, use that multiplier in our old, you know, hourly rate, whatever that is. But that clearly doesn't work. So I'm going to stop talking and let you start sharing, because I know all of our listeners are thinking, okay, well, great. Well, I'm over that part now. How much should I actually be charging?
So you mentioned your family. I have a family too. And it's a good place to start because we all have such different financial needs. Right. And so if you just charge a multiple based on your last job, or you charge an hourly rate even that feels aggressive to you, a lot of times it's little more than a guess. And so what I recommend is that people start with what I call their survival number, and that is figuring out how much money you already spend every month. Right. And so generally you would take like 90 days worth of personal expenses, divide by three, get your average. Like how much money does it just take to live each month? There's no judgment there. You don't have to say, well, gosh, we spend way too much. You just need to start with like an honest number. Like, okay, this is where we're at. Maybe you are eating out too much. Let's set that aside for a moment. Here's where we are. Right. Then you have to think about business operating expenses, because businesses have to eat too, right? Like you're going to have subscriptions, you're going to have web hosting, you're going to have your email service provider, you're going to have expenses, right? Maybe you have an office or a co-working space, whatever. Then you're going to pay taxes. And again, talking about how personal this is, I live in Tennessee. We have no state income tax. So I can reasonably expect to pay less in taxes than someone in California, where there is state income tax. So imagine if someone in New York blindly copied the rates of someone in Tennessee while not factoring in like, oh, it may just be more expensive to live in my city or my state. And you and I both know it's more expensive to have kids, right? And so you start with what is our realistic survival number based on living expenses, business expenses, taxes. But you don't stop there, because who among us starts freelancing or consulting or doing the solopreneur thing so that we can scrape by? Like surviving is not the point. So then you take that number, right? And then you start thinking more about a dream number. And the dream number takes some other things into consideration. And I'm not going to unpack them as granularly as I might like, because Explaining the calculations during this conversation would be maybe tedious, but you have to take into consideration certain things like, hey, you're not going to work 40, 50 hours a week every week and be able to bill every single hour to a client. Right. So out of all the hours are you work, like what's a realistic percentage that you can bill to clients month after month, right? You're not going to work every day. You're not going to work every week. Like you really should be taking vacations, going on trips, celebrating holidays. Yeah. You know, my niece's high school graduation party is coming up. Like if it's on a Friday and I'm going to be driving over to Nashville, like I need to optimize for lifestyle here. Right. So if you look at a year, you need to subtract however many days and weeks you're just not going to work because you need to live your life. Mm-hmm. And with the weeks left over, that's the number that you should use when you're calculating your dream rate, right? Mm-hmm. So you think, what are the available work weeks across a year? Mm-hmm. How many hours can I realistically expect to bill in an average week? It's not going to be 40 or 50. It's going to be more like 20, 25, 30. Right? Yeah. Then you take another number from, think about it like what your more aggressive monthly budget would be if you were making definitive progress toward your long-term financial and lifestyle goals. So again, we didn't get into this to scrape by. You know, if you've got kids and you'd eventually like for them to go to a private school, or you want to put a down payment on a house, or you want to spend 6 months traveling the world, being a digital nomad, you know, taking care of your clients when you can, right? Like, what is that dream lifestyle? And realistically, how much extra is that going to cost per month if you're saving up for something, right? If you're only going to work 6 months out of the year, whatever. Right. So when you take those factors into consideration and you recalculate what you really ought to be making in terms of your effective hourly rate, not what you charge if you're charging hourly, but like how much you want to make for an hour that you bill a time, you know, that you bill to your clients, right? Yeah. I call it your effective hourly rate because I would recommend that everybody kind of get away from charging hourly. Let's do the flat fee thing. Yeah. So if you charge a flat fee and then it takes you X number of hours, that's your effective hourly rate, right? Mm-hmm. And ideally, your effective hourly rate gets closer and closer to that dream number, that dream rate that enables you to take off as much time as you want and need, that isn't assuming that you're going to bill every single waking hour that, you know, during the week. So we start with survival rate. Mm-hmm. We get to dream rate. And then the dream rate is the one that you use to calculate your prices. Mm-hmm. So your these rates are private. You don't share those with clients. But once you have that dream rate, you can say, great, this is my base unit of calculation. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to look at a specific type of project I do on a regular basis. I'm going to think about how much time that takes me typically. Mm-hmm. I'm going to multiply times my dream rate, not my survival rate.
Right.
Then I'm going to account for human behavior. I call it pessimistic pricing because how many creative or consulting projects have you ever done where there was no scope creep? Like it went mm-hmm. exactly according to plan. No extra meetings, no extra emails, no little things that they forgot during the discovery conversation they need. There's always something, right? Like right. Scopes creep. That's just what scopes do. They creep. Right. Yeah. So go ahead and add 20% on top. Mm-hmm. That's your pessimistic price. Just account for human behavior, right? Like people are going to ask for extra stuff. So build that into your price. And that way when that thing comes up, you're like, no problem. And suddenly you're easy to work with because your price had some cushion in it, right? And then the final thing is what I call a weirdly precise number, mm-hmm. where let's say you're going to charge $5,000. Don't charge $5,000. Charge $5,175.
Right.
If the client was going to pay $5,000, they'll pay $5,175.
Right.
So these weirdly precise numbers, they're never so much greater than what you were about to charge that they're going to cause you to lose a client. Mm-hmm. But when you think about tacking on like an extra $175, adding that to $5,000, if you add up those little wins across a year, that can be a significant amount of money for some of us. So those are kind of the rough steps. Like, I have all of the calculations if people need them. Like, you know, none of these calculations is difficult. But if you take the steps in the right order, what you get on the other side is smart, strategic, sustainable prices that cover your immediate needs. And anytime you sell a project at that price, you know, like, you are absolutely certain that you're also making definitive progress toward your long-term goals. And, you know, that I think was missing from my pricing for years, where I had some big wins and then some not so big wins. But how do you have prices that you're truly confident in? So that's the process I wanted to create.
I like the whole weirdly specific number part, because when I present my rates, I'll say this is the rate, not my rate. Because if I say it's my rate, it's like, oh, you're flexible. I'm like, no, this is the rate, which is weirdly priced, but it's the rate. So just having that verbiage versus, you know, mine works better. But this all makes sense. I wish I had talked to you 8 years ago. Like, seriously, because I made a lot of mistakes with my pricing. And just knowing this in general, like, it would have helped me raise my standards. And that's what I keep on going back to. Like, often as an entrepreneur, we lower our standards just to get a yes. But it's like, what impact does it have on your sense of self-worth, right? How do you get out of that rut once you're just used to undercharging over and over and over again, right? You're just getting further behind every day. But I know there's someone listening who's like, you know, that sounds cool, that sounds great, but these guys are already somewhat established. Like, that doesn't work for me. Like, I have bills to pay next week, and this guy's talking about your dream rate and all this stuff. My dream is paying my rent. So what would you say to that person who's just like, they hear it, they want to accept it, but they're still not quite ready to go ahead and charge their true value?
Small bets, 10% more than last time. I get it. Sometimes it takes our confidence a little while to catch up with our capability. And the way we grow confidence is not by thinking about growing confidence. It's by taking a little risk, a small bet, and then that's how much our confidence will grow incrementally. Because, I mean, Terry, you had that experience 8 years ago. I had that experience 15 years ago when I first started freelancing, that your heart is kind of in your throat when you name a slightly higher price, and then the client accepts it immediately, and you're like, what?
Should I charge more? Like,
yeah, and you're like, oh no, like, maybe I just left money on the table, and you probably did, and that's okay. So for that person who is struggling to make ends meet, I have been there. Mm-hmm. I get it. It is scary to think about quoting even a slightly higher number. Because what if they walk away? That is always a risk. But I can tell you that every single freelancer and consultant I've coached has come to a crux, like a decision point, where you have to say, I'm worth more. I've gotta take the risk someday. Today's the day, even if it's just 10% more. So the time will come when you have to try. You have to take the risk. And I'm excited for you to learn what's on the other side of that risk.
Austin, this has been amazing for me and our listeners, I'm sure. So For anyone who wants to learn more from you or follow along, what's the best way for them to do so?
Thank you for asking. Find me on LinkedIn. I'm there a bunch. Austin L. Church. Find me at freelancecake.com. There's a lot of solid training for freelancers and consultants there. And go buy the book. It's called Free Money. The link is on Freelance Cake. Everything is there.
Every episode, we're going to end with a next step. So you can walk away from our time together with one concrete action item to help build your business faster and with less confusion. So here's your next step for this week. Figure out your survival number. Like Austin said, that is the bare minimum for what you need to pay your bills each month. And don't forget to factor in taxes, car payments, and maybe a little extra line item for incidental spending. And if you'd like extra credit, you could take this a step further and calculate your dream number. How much would you have to charge to work your desired number of hours per week and provide the finances for your dream lifestyle? And that's it for today. For show notes and information about our guest, visit terryrice.co/elevate. This podcast is presented by Verizon Small Business Digital Ready, a free community that offers courses, mentorship, networking, and grants created just for small businesses. To join the platform, visit digitalready.verizonwireless.com. That's digitalready.verizonwireless.com. And hey, if you found value in this episode, help us spread the word to other entrepreneurs by subscribing and leaving a review. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch up with you next time.